Ernest Gordon lies on his back and groans in the death house of Chiang Kai, Burma. He listens to the moans of the dying and he smells the stench of death. Pitiless jungle heat bakes his skin and parches his throat. If he had the strength, he could wrap one hand around his bony thigh, but he has neither the energy nor the interest. Diphtheria has drained both. He can't walk, he can't even feel his body, so he shares a cot with flies and bedbugs and awaits a lonely death in a Japanese prisoner of war camp. The war had been devastatingly harsh on him. He entered World War II in his early 20s, a robust Highlander in Scotland's Argyll and Sutherland Brigade. But then came the capture by the Japanese. Months of back-breaking labor in the jungle, daily beatings, and slow starvation. Scotland seems forever away. Civility, even further. And hope? Hope was all but gone. And to make things worse, the captured Allied soldiers behaved like barbarians, stealing from each other, robbing dying colleagues, fighting for food scraps. In fact, the food servers shortchanged rations so that they could have extra for themselves. And so the law of the jungle had become the law of the camp. Gordon was happy to bid it all goodbye. Death by disease would be better than a life in Chiang Kai. But then something wonderful happens. Two new prisoners in whom hope still exists were transferred into that camp. Though they were also sick and frail, they heed a higher code. Their hope rests in the one who already went through death and came out alive. They share their meager meals and they volunteer for extra work. They cleanse Gordon's ulcerous sores and they massage his atrophied legs. They give him his first bath in 6 weeks. And his strength then begins to slowly return, and with it his dignity, and then most importantly, hope. The goodness and hope of these two men proves to be contagious to the others. It rubs off first on Gordon. It brings life to him. He feels like living again. He brings care for the sick, and he shares his rations, even gives away the very few belongings that he has. Other soldiers then begin to do likewise, and over time, the tone of the camp softens and brightens. Sacrifice replaces selfishness. Hope replaces despair. These prisoners then even begin to hold worship services and Bible studies. Hope led them forward. You see, there is something tremendously powerful about hope. Both our Old Testament lesson and the gospel reading for today give us a picture, an image of hope. In the Old Testament lesson, Ezekiel gives a picture of hope for the Israelites. It's a picture of how God can raise dead bones back to life and breathe hope back into their exiled people. Now, Jesus then, in the gospel reading, brings hope to those who are grieving the death of a loved one. In fact, he is hope incarnate. He looks death square in the face and he says, "I am the resurrection and the life." Both texts tell of an incredibly powerful hope. And the truth is, just a glimmer of hope has the power to transform life and even look death in the face unafraid. Yet to be captured and tortured by an enemy in war is a dismal and hopeless prospect. Many who have endured such an atrocity have said it's like enduring hell on earth. And yet, as hard as it might be to imagine, being an enemy of God is even worse. Anyone who remains an enemy of God will ultimately suffer far greater than any person suffering in an enemy POW camp. And the Bible now defines an enemy of God as a sinner. That is, anyone who disobeys the will and commands of God. So here's the simple fact. There isn't a one of us who's not a sinner. Selfishness, hatred, and pride, you don't have to go to a POW camp to find them. A classroom, a dormitory, a church fellowship hall will do just fine. So will a boardroom of a corporation, or the bedroom of a marriage, or the backwoods of a county. The code of the jungle is alive and well among us. Everyone for themselves. Get all you can all you get. It's a dog-eat-dog world. Survival of the fittest. Perhaps this code contaminates your world. Or maybe it's that possessive personal pronouns dominate the language of your circles. My career. My dreams. My stuff. I want things to go my way on my schedule. And anyone who gets in my way is my enemy. Here's the scary fact. Anyone who remains an enemy of God will suffer a very real hell with all of its eternal sufferings, tortures, and pain. And now, to be sure, the thought of this can indeed bring anyone into despair. And despair is a terrible place to be. And perhaps some of you are close to that this morning. Maybe you're going through something in life that you're near despair. The Israelites were confronting despair. Through Ezekiel, they declared in that Old Testament reading, our hope is lost. Mary, Martha, in the Gospel reading, facing despair, they both declared, Lord, if you'd have been here, my brother would not have died. What is your voice saying this morning? Are you full of hope? Are you closer to despair? You see, the truth is there are countless people desperate for hope in this world. People in our communities, people in our families, people in our congregations, people who are desperate for hope. The bullied kid at school, the struggling athlete, the overburdened mom, the scared little girl, your atheist neighbor, your church-skipping children, the disheartened American citizen, the death row inmate, and you. You who are overwhelmed by life, who are burdened by your sin, and suffocating from the unknown. You're looking for hope too. But you see, that's why we need the hope that comes in Jesus Christ. You see, he knows the hopeless, and he knows the hurting. He knows the despairing, and he knows the dying. He knows all who are enemies of God, and that means he knows you, and he knows me. He's encountered the skeptics and the doubters, and yet he knows a thing or two of what it is to go after a lost soul. In fact, he went through hell to save you, to save me. He knows. Yes, the truth is, Jesus has seen our sin up close and personal. He's heard our disbeliefs. He knows our doubts. He's felt the hopeless cruelty of our sin as it was nailed to his very own body on the cross. And he knows what it is to be tempted by despair. Because while hanging on the cross, Jesus is the only one who truly did suffer hell on earth. The unbearable torment he endured on the cross was in your place for your sins, all to make you a precious, beloved, redeemed child of God. And therefore, you need not ever despair. Rather, you have been given a hope and a life that comes through Jesus Christ. Look, listen carefully here. Folks, the hope of the gospel is powerful, not just for eternal living, but for living right here and right now in our daily lives. And perhaps you've been at a point in life where all seems lost, or maybe you're there now. where all seems lost, your job, your marriage, your life. And yet somehow you've managed to find yourself here this morning. Or it's in the past and you find yourself here time and again. What is it that got you through those times? What is it that's getting you through now? My hunch is it's hope. Maybe it's just a teeny tiny ounce of hope, but nonetheless, it's hope. Not simply some generic hope or some blind hope, but one that is rooted in the one who has looked despair in the face and destroyed it with his shed blood and his resurrection hope. You see, this is the kind of hope that we have in the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's a hope that does not disappoint, says the scriptures. It steadies you when all seems lost. Such hope puts breath in your lungs, a gleam in your eye, and a spring in your step. This hope literally has the power to bring life where there is death. Don't believe me? Listen again to what Gordon Ernst said 20 years after his POW experience. He served as chaplain of Princeton University. Listen to his description about the transformation of that POW camp. He says, "Death was certainly still with us, no doubt about that. But we were slowly being freed from its destructive grip. Selfishness, hatred, and pride were all anti-life. Love, self-sacrifice, and faith, on the other hand, were the essence of life, gifts of God to men. Death no longer had the last word at that camp in Chiang Kai." This is the power of the gospel, friends. When it looks as if all is lost, the gospel of Jesus Christ tells us there's still hope. The gospel of Jesus gives us that hope. When you are baptized into the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, you are baptized into a sin-removing, life-giving, soul-saving, death-defeating hope, just as we celebrated that this morning. In fact, this hope is so powerful, it's contagious. It's so powerful, it rubs off on others. When you're filled with hope, you care for the sick, and you share your rations. Filled with hope, you can give away your belongings and help those who are in need. Hope replaces selfishness with sacrifice. In fact, over time, hope has the power to change the tone of entire community, just like it did for those prisoners of war, and just like I've seen it do here among us. I've seen it at work. I've seen it change you and move you into action, and it is something to behold. Hope is a powerful force rooted in the gospel. And of course, it's not just simply you doing all that work on your own willpower. Rather, Jesus Christ baptismally is working through you by his Holy Spirit, giving you hope and moving you forward to share that hope. And you see, that's what this congregation is all about, sharing hope, teaching Christ. And we do that with family, with friends, with neighbors, with foreigners, even with prisoners. Because we know that to live with despair is debilitating, but to live with the hope of Jesus Christ is invigorating. And that's why we go into our homes, into our communities, into our workplaces, and we create relationships with people of every race, creed, and color. So that maybe, just maybe, we might have the opportunity to share with them a living hope. That's right, it's a living hope. Because it has the power to bring life where there is death. Again, don't believe me? One evening at the Chiang Kai prisoner camp after work detail, a Japanese guard announced that a shovel was missing. Now, the officer kept the Allied prisoners' information, insisting that someone had stolen it. Screaming in broken English, he demanded that the guilty man step forward, so he shouldered his rifle, ready to kill one prisoner at a time until a confession was made. Now, a Scottish soldier broke ranks, stood stiffly at attention, and said, "I did it." The Japanese officer unleashed his wrath upon him savagely and beat the man to death. When the guard was finally exhausted, the prisoners picked up the man's body and their tools and returned to camp. Only then were the shovels recounted. The Japanese soldier had made a mistake. No shovel was missing after all. The selfless prisoner sacrificed himself to protect the others from the anger and the wrath of those Japanese. Who does that? Who takes the blame for something he didn't do? Who lets himself be savagely beaten, punished, and killed for something he didn't do so that others might live? Who does that? Jesus does that. He took your punishment, endured your suffering, and went through hell, the hell that we deserved, so that you would not suffer the wrath of the Heavenly Father. And he did it because he loves you totally and completely. He did it to give you a living hope. Friends, that's the Christian message. It is a message of hope. Jesus Christ is the great hope giver. He gives it to you even on this very day through his word and in a few moments into your mouths with his body and blood. He is God's promise keeper. Where there is darkness, he brings light. Where there is fear, he gives courage. Where there is failure, he provides acceptance. Where there is sin and repentance, he gives forgiveness. And where there is death, he gives life. Jesus Christ gives you living hope. So live in that hope. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds and keep them strong in that faith of our Savior Jesus Christ to life everlasting. Amen.